We do await the advent coming of the Lord into our lives. That's why we are given this season in order to orientate our lives toward his coming. The Lord does come to us. The Lord does enter into our lives. But we always ask, where do we discover his coming to us? So very much depends upon where we are looking. The Lord's coming in our lives is not ever with strength, but always in our weakness. Not with noise, but in silence, and never with power, but always with gentleness. A child born is God's sign to the prophet Ahaz. A young girl, mysteriously pregnant, is God's sign in the Gospel of Matthew today. And a delicately discreet dream is God's sign to Joseph. The coming of the Lord, then and now, is always quiet and gentle and weak. And that is precisely why we must look so diligently and listen so attentively in our own lives to discover if we are going to be found by the Lord in this season of his coming. We must understand, though, that Jesus is the weakness that is God's strength. Jesus is the silence that is God's holy word. And he is gentleness that is God's power. And so if the advent coming of the Lord is ever going to become real for us now, it means that we must learn to look for him in the right places. What is so unfortunate today in our technological society, with so many advances having been made, people have begun to think that it's impossible to understand personal weakness as an opportunity for God's strength to come to us. It is so difficult for us people today to accept any kind of weakness in our lives, to accept the fact that there simply are some things that we people cannot do. The difficulty arises from the society, the culture in which we live. Our technological society sees life as a problem, or life becomes a series of problems to be solved. And society tells us that if we cannot deal with every problem in our life, then there is something wrong with us. Our culture tells us that our weakness is never to be accepted. And that's one reason why our 20th century passion for social engineering has become almost a total disaster. In a way, we are very much like little mice who have taken up residence in a grand piano. In this case, there's no way in which the mice are able to get out of the piano, but that's not really a problem for them, because right there, they have everything that they want where they are. There was fear of darkness for them in the piano, but every now and then, the mice would hear this glorious music, the kind of music that always had the power to take away their fear whenever the mice would experience it. But in between the times of music, the mice would sit around in moments of quiet, and they would discuss various kinds of theories about the identity of this unseen music maker. It was for them an accepted fact that there really was an unseen piano player. And so the mice were very happy, even though they did have their daily problems and fears. But then one of the little mice ventured out into an area of the piano where no mouse had ever been before. And he returned to the group, shaking his head and muttering over and over, "Wires, wires." And the others looked at him and thought that maybe he had flipped out. They asked him what he meant. He told them there were different lengths of wire stretched tautly, and they would vibrate periodically. He said the music they heard was really coming from those wires. He said there is no unseen piano player. And so the group of mice was shocked to silence. Some believed what the mouse said, others did not, but all of them became very troubled. And something very curious then began to happen to all of them as they began to center their attention on how the music was made. They all became a little deaf. They became a little bit more and more deaf to the music itself. And then the other mice began to scamper around in every direction in an orgy of exploration in the piano. And after a while, another one came back and said, "Hammers, hammers." And this excited mouse told them all the hammers vibrated the wires when they struck periodically. He announced now that they really knew how the music was made, and he told them now it was their duty to mousedom to tell everyone about the new discovery. And so after more discussion, they all decided the top priority in their lives would be to eradicate from all mouse consciousness this myth of the unseen piano player. And the motto of their new movement was, "The unseen piano player must die in order that mice might live, in order that mice might finally achieve total mouseness, completely unhampered by any falsehood." And loyalty to mouseness demanded that they would have to shoot the piano player. And so the mice began to build up their environment in their own way, in the piano, so that it would really become a place where they, as mice, could finally achieve their full potential as mice. And now they were so busy achieving fullness of potential, they didn't even notice that little by little they'd be becoming more and more afraid of the darkness. They knew in the back of their little minds that there really was something bothering them. But it didn't really matter, because they were so heady with their explorations, with their new great plans. And now they had developed every area of the piano. They had conquered their entire environment. They initiated all kinds of improvements. For example, they put a food storage bin right across the longest wire of all. Now, formerly, that wire, when it vibrated, gave off the most beautiful music note. And the builders knew that, but they saw that construction of the food bin simply as a trade-off. They said, "We need the food bin much more than we need music." It was so unfortunate, though, whenever the hammer struck that wire, it always sounded like a shoe dropping on a metal floor. And the other improvements they made on the other wires were the same, so that after a while, the little mice could no longer tell the difference between the noise and the music. And then they began to realize that they were very, very afraid. And they sat down and began to reassess what they were really doing. Some began to think that the music might just be worthwhile, after all. Others thought perhaps they should really go back further and re-examine their discarded belief in the unseen piano player. And still others, but each one of us needs to finish that parable to understand that today, in our advanced technological society, with all of its wonderful theories, which really should be pursued with all the strength we have, because theories do help us to understand, and to try to understand is the way God made us. But no single theory, and nor all the theories put together, are able to help us understand even one small particle of the mystery of our existence as the gifts that God has made us. There remains this great weakness under the camouflage of all these theories, a weakness that still remains the occasion for the strength of God to still work in our world today. And now we await again the coming advent of our God as a child in a manger. And if we are even going to begin to recognize how God comes to us all of the time, we begin at least with that kind of weakness in the manger. The manger is the first sign of the strength of God showing itself to us in weakness. A weakness that is not rendered obsolete by all the strength of all of our knowledge and theories. God always edges quietly into our human personal existence through such weak people as that young girl named Mary, whom we have learned to call blessed. The Lord edges into our lives through this young man we have come to call Saint Joseph. And our God comes to each of us precisely in the weakest areas of our lives. The areas of our lives of which we are least proud and most ashamed. That is how God enters our lives. And it is exactly in that continuing process that our lives, God coming to us in our acknowledged weakness, that we become whole people, fulfilled persons. God's second coming continues because Jesus in weakness remains forever. Emmanuel, our God who is with us. And have you noticed during Advent, as we have prayed for strength of faith and hope, how little by little the darkness is less to be feared? We have slowly learned not to shoot the piano player, for Christ Jesus is our song that is played now in the darkness of our broken world.